Morning, everybody. Welcome to the Daily Digest with Jimmy Disu. And today is a kind of reunion with an old friend of mine, Dr. Patu Tommy of the Labour Party. He's not here just as a party man. I just want to have a conversation with him as to what's going on. When politics takes off, we'll be back again, but there's no running away from talking a bit about this. Patu, it's nice to see you.
Yeah, it's good to see you, actually.
I haven't seen you for a while. Let me tell you something, you young people, let me just throw my weight at you a little bit. I was about, how old was I then?
Don't tell them you're old, though.
No, I won't tell them. No, let them just know the truth. This gentleman here, I've never had time to thank him. I want to embarrass him a bit.
Oh, dear.
Sometime in 1980, what is it now, 85 or 86, a gentleman called Mr. Lunge, consultant, called Patu Tommy and said they needed somebody to run the corporate affairs department of a multinational. Lever Brothers, to be specific. And so he said, okay. So he told Lunged, who can I give you? And he mentioned my name. Now, you know all the things that make the differences these days. Christian, Muslim. At that time, I was more or less a practicing Muslim. He's from Delta. I'm from Lagos. All those things didn't matter. My name came straight to his head. He gave my name to Lunged, and the rest is history. And that's how at 36 or thereabouts, I've headed the corporate affairs department of a multinational, like he was doing then in Volkswagen. So with Nigeria has been good to us, that's why you find the burning desire in him. Look at his history, all the things that he's done. How old were you when you were in Shagari's cabinet?
27.
And then you were in Volkswagen at about 30, 32 or thereabout. Look, it's a long time coming. But look at the things that he's done, Patito's gang and all these things contributing to public space, to a point where one day I had to call him to say that, look, Pat, take your mind out of the public, but he keeps going, he's contested. Anyway, thank you, my friend. It's good to see you. You haven't seen, how's your sister anyway?
Good,
that's somebody
fine,
I've not
yes.
seen for donkey years.
You know, actually, what I was going to start out saying is, you've been doing this business of speaking grammar on radio.
All my life.
But in the nearly 40 years I've known you,
yes,
you and I haven't actually ever had an interview of this nature.
No, we have. I think
have we?
Did we?
We planned to, but we didn't.
We planned to, but we didn't.
We didn't.
You know, when I think of the good old days of New Breed.
Oh, yeah.
It's a long time coming. So, Pat, this Labour, first of all, you're a full-fledged member of the Labour Party.
Yes.
Are you there because Obi is there, or you were a member before?
Obi met me.
He met you there.
Yes.
But
there's a history to it.
Tell me. I'd like to know.
Yeah. You see, interestingly, day before yesterday, I got a chat from some gentleman, very respected gentleman, and he said to me, you really are Simeon. I said, what? He said, for years, you have said what nobody wanted to believe was possible.
Yes.
And you stuck doggedly at this position that Nigeria needs a third force. I don't like
You've
the usage of third
that.
Force. I've said it for years. And it comes from, look, I'm a social scientist. I like to say by both training and passion and conviction.
Yes.
I've been analyzing the Nigerian space and wanting to do anything that God's talent and power in and with me could do to make Nigeria a better country.
Yes.
And when the military began to mess up big time, I gave impetus to the founding of the Concerned Professionals.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
And we fought the military. I mean, there were assassination attempts on me during the... these are all cut records on the Abacha and all of that, but we stood there.
The remarkable one was the one... You were jogging somewhere in Dolphin, was it?
Oh, yeah.
And then you were... So I remember, we keep track of these things.
Through those years, I kept analyzing how we could make... When we were returning to civil rule, when the army finally decided to run in
98,
our group, the Concerned Professionals, met in my office. I used to have an office on Ido Taylor here in Victoria Island at the time, to decide what we would do. A group included Donald Duke, the late Waziri Mohammed and co, thought we should go into politics and really provide a lesson of all these things we've been writing about. And another group, led, I think, probably by Tola Mobolunri.
Yes, Tola.
Tola, yeah. I think Tola should be back. He was in the States.
Tola Mobolunri, yeah.
And by the way, we're all still in touch.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Somebody's missing, though. Victor. You know he passed. Victor Gudikwe.
Of course, now.
Yes.
Oh, I don't want to tell the Victor story.
No, let's go.
It's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. Please. So we decided we're going to decide what to do. And not to go into politics, because we really saw ourselves as concerned citizens who did stepped up. I more or less had the casting vote. And I went with Tola and Co, who thought we should leave the old politicians to come back. They would have learned the lessons of the past, and we could now make progress. Because they were people of service, the people who went along with the Awolowos of this world. We thought they were going to come back. But we miscalculated, because they did not trust the military. They didn't think the military was going to go away. So they did not come into the space. Just a few came forward, like Alex Ekweme and Co.
Mm-hmm.
And gate was open. And those who entered the space were those we should never have allowed to enter public life.
Was Bola Tinubu a member of the Concerned Professionals?
No, he wasn't. But here is where the connect took place. During the NADECO days, and of course, people have continued to distort history. We more or less created NADECO. We in the Concerned Professionals.
Yes.
But there was a group of older men who used to meet in General Adedinka Adebayos, included Commodore Bitu Kiwe. In fact, General Adebayo, who was hosting, would ask Ukiwe
to conduct
the meeting. So Ukiwe was literally chair of KANU, as it was called, Council for National Understanding. And it is that group that, when we as concerned professionals thought we needed a force to challenge Abacha, tried to stimulate. That's what became NADECO. Because people keep rewriting this history as they find convenient.
Yes.
And a group of people abroad then began to meet as NADECO abroad. Chief Anthony Nahoro was their leader. BAT, Bola Ahmed Tinubu, was in that group. And when eventually the army left and they came back, I was at an event at National Theatre, I remember very clearly. And this gentleman walks up to me, looking sort of familiar. And I thought, he says, "Hi, I'm Bola Tinubu. I want to thank you for making me famous." I said, "Me? When did I do that?" He said, "Well, when we were in NADECO abroad, every time we have a meeting on what to do, and we begin to come towards a rounding up, Chivenahoro will say, 'Who knows what Pat Utomi thinks on this matter?'" And Bola Tinubu said he would be the one who was in touch with Nigerian newspapers and Nigeria, and would say, "This is what Pat Utomi said yesterday." He said that was his claim to fame, and we laughed about it.
You still have a good relationship with him, though.
Oh, yeah.
I saw a video of you and when he was dancing. And
look, that video, I will never see the last of it.
You won't see the last of
it. It was an Ilea day.
It popped up on my Facebook.
Somebody came to me and said, "Can you please go and introduce me to Tinubu?" I said, "Not a problem. Today is about Ilea. I need to pop into his place." So I took them. We got there. And as I then got up to leave, he wanted to see us off. He was walking with us, and then the drummer started dancing. Yeah, so I did not want to look awkward. So I did a shuffle or two. And that video has become...
but were you were also involved in his emergence in Lagos?
I worked very closely with him. In fact, the truth of that story is that it cost me my relationship with General Obasanjo, which was a very strong relationship. Ooh. Oh, yeah, very big time. General Obasanjo and I have fought since I was 21 years old. The New Breed days.
Yes. Yes.
I was a 21-year-old youth copper.
A second silence for Chris Okudie. Yes. Those New Breed was.
Something.
With that Tedo Peter
side. I was coming out. I was a youth copper. That's why I tell young people who don't know when the opportunity. I caused a cabinet reshuffle in this country as a 21-year-old youth copper by what I wrote.
Wow.
So I have given General Obasanjo trouble for a long time, and we are such wonderful frenemies.
Frenemies.
So, General Obasanjo wanted to run after the Holy Spirit spoke to him in 1998. He decided to constitute a policy advisory team.
Yes.
And then I get a call. Pat! I said, oh my God.
That gruffy voice. Yeah. Yeah.
And he said, look, he wants to do this, and I thought I should give you a tinkle. I said, ah. So, I was summoned to Otta. So it was supposed to be a policy advisory group. It was supposed to be led by Professor Dr. Phillips. I was supposed to be the secretary rapporteur. I think it was Professor Oyejide, one of the Ibadan economists and two, three, you know, Ifueko. Omoigi,
yeah.
It was part of it. Ayo Teriba was part of that group. But it was quite an interesting group to put together. But you know, in 78, Southwest wasn't sure they wanted Obasanjo.
Yes.
So I think it was, which of these UI professors in economics? Anyway, wrote to General Obasanjo pointedly. Said, I'm opposed to your candidacy. So I cannot be your advisory team. He was spoiled. So, anyway, we didn't see Professor Phillips. He just...
He didn't show.
No. So, General Obasanjo promoted me to chairman.
I see.
Yeah, so I then became chairman. Ifueko became secretary rapporteur. And we met with him every day in 1998 in the lead-up. First of all, before that, he had an October 1 event. You know, shortly after he left prison, it was on the 30th of September. He brought together all the traditional leading lights across Nigeria to discuss Nigeria going forward. But anyway, this is the moment I must pause and pay tribute to an extraordinary man, Professor Akin Mabogunje.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Who has passed.
Yes.
You know, there were several of those kinds of meetings taking place. In fact, one took place, Chief Chris Ogumbanjo called one in his hometown in Jobude. And when I was walking in, Professor Mabogunje said, oh, Pat, I'm so glad you are here. He says, when I was leaving for this meeting, my son said to me, how come all of you who are about to die are going to discuss our future? So when General Obasanjo called this one in Otta, it was almost the same phenomenon. I mean, the youngest people there were Olusegun Bakoba, myself, Bilkisu, who passed away in that accident in Mecca, in the stampede, who was editor of New Nigerian. Anyway, she. So, selection, all of us, the so-called younger people, kind of sat together at lunch. And General Obasanjo walks up to our table, pulls and sits with us. And he says, you know, I made a terrible mistake. I should have just taken people like you and handed Nigeria over to 1979.
Why is that?
He continued the mistake.
He continued the mistake. And
anyway,
but so, we talk about these things. Because Pat, if I leave you, you tell me the stories. At time is not our friend. But we talk about these things, and I'm so worried that the younger people of today are not accorded the same opportunity.
Yes, absolutely.
The opportunity I had, you had.
Absolutely.
All of us, Victor, Gudipe, the whole lot of us.
Look, we're in our young 20s people, and 30s.
We're in our 20s and 30s.
Yes.
You know?
And I keep saying this, and this is precisely how I stepped down for Peter Obi.
Oh, did you step down
for him? I was to be the candidate.
I see.
All the work we had done all these years, building up the whole thought force, was moving to me being the candidate.
I see. That so is, what brought that about? Then?
So, I mean, Peter Obi was not in the picture. He was in the PDP.
Yes.
So we thought, let them sort themselves there. But he was looking like a good guy. He was saying the kind of things that I was saying. And I knew he's a...
Did you know him from way back?
Very well, very well.
Okay.
In fact, when he was governor, we briefly went to the same high school. As you know, I went majorly to Loyola College in Ibadan, same uni.
Yes.
But before I came to Loyola College...
Your lawyer, do you have name four of your class? We have to be careful these days. Especially with schools in Ibadan. So
Joe Keshi, Ambassador Keshi, went to school with me, Loyola College.
No, when we refer to schools in Ibadan,
yes.
You know, it seems a convenient place. So, can you name four of your classmates?
Yes, Actually, one of my classmates just.
Doc Person was like your classmate.
But like, no, Doc Person was actually a class ahead of me.
Akeredolu was
Rotimi was my junior.
Your junior.
Akeredolu, yes.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, that's enough evidence. Okay, so let's put that.
But I spoke to Akiti day before yesterday. I called him about his mother's passing.
Yes,
and all of that. So, and we're a very neat group, tightly knit group of Loyola boys back in those days. But before I came to Loyola, I had gone to Christ the King's College in Onitsha.
Okay.
And so Peter Obi went to Christ the King's College.
Okay.
And the Catholic Archbishop of Onitsha was my classmate in Christ the King's College. And he and I are very close. And so when Peter Obi was governor, if he wanted to reach the Archbishop, he would call me and say, Senior.
Okay.
You know, the church should be thinking it this way. Because knowing that if he hinted me on anything, the Archbishop would pick up on it. It was a very clever way he managed as governor. So anytime he had a funny experience, he would call me and say, Ah, Senior.
It's on record you're a strong Catholic, though. I think people need to know that. Well, very strong and devoted Catholic. I can testify to that. Even though I am not.
So I you know, knew him through those years. So when he calls me and says, look, this PDP thing won't work. I said, oh, thank God you've seen
the called,
light.
He called you. Me, he called you first, or he called other members of the party? He called you first?
I don't know. No. He was probably talking.
But he called you.
Yeah, he called me. He was probably talking with the party.
So we can safely say that he reached out to the Labour Party.
Yeah,
that's good.
So when I then heard that he was coming, I said, "Look, I'm 6 years older than Peter. He will have more energy than me.
Yes,
Peter, go with it, and I will support him. Very simple. I've had that. I did the same thing in 2011." Chief Enahoro had started a process to say, let's progressives come together. I had said after the, you don't want me to go back to the concerned professionals story again,
yes.
And link, but in 2003, we decided we made a mistake as concerned professionals in not stepping in because of the kinds of characters that then moved in
yeah.
And the political space was falling apart. So we started to come together to run. It resulted in 2006-07. Run. After I saw 2006-07, I decided, no, this is not a democracy. There isn't any point in trying for now. We've got to find another way to save Nigeria. And we got to think, what ways could we do that through civil society? This democracy is already locked up. Those characters who moved in seized the space, pocketed the state, and in taking public resources into their pocket, they used money to elect. Erect barriers of entry. Look, in Jakonde's time, who thought about money as how you became everything in Lagos?
Yes.
In fact, you had to, the more tattered you looked, the more it was thought that you were really a committed person. If you look too good, they say,
But talking about age, you didn't make any attempt to convince your friend that about age, you know, and letting
VAT?
VAT, yes. Did you have a discussion with him?
Yes. To be very frank with you, BAT and I have not talked for years because I was very disappointed in the way he conducted things when I tried to run. A group of people tried to harass me into running for governor of Delta.
Yes.
I said, look, it's not my idol. So they put so much pressure that it would be letting down everything I had preached. So I said, okay, let me talk to people. I talked to him. I talked to Chief Akonde. I talked to everybody. I said, okay, it's a good idea. He had actually pressured me in 2007 to run for Delta, saying, look, he will give me all the support, and then afterwards we could face the center. I thought, okay, I'm not a local person as such, you know. So I didn't run. So when I then was responding to all this pressure to do Delta, and I turned to him and said, yeah, what happened? Made me unhappy, and we've not been in touch for some time.
Okay, this is Dr. Patu Tommy. I knew Professor. Sorry, I didn't want to demote you. I knew this was going to happen. We will finish the interview today, but he's going to have to come back again. I know that when we'll come back after the 28th, and then we'll be able to talk real full Labour politics. Well, we get around to talking something close to it. It's the Daily Digest with Jimmy Disu. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll continue. So don't go away.
Don't touch that dial. Daily Digest returns in a moment.
Information at its peak. This is 99.3 Nigeria Info. I'm listening.
Yeah, you're welcome to the Daily Digest with Jimmy Disu. You're welcome. We are back. Let me do it like it does it on Patito's
guy. It well enough. It's we
are back. What happened to Patito's gang? Is it still on?
Of course. It's on Saturday.
These foreign stations that we keep watching, yes, and football.
The thing is that it's exclusively now on one channel, Channel 7.
But is it online?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, fine. Mm-hmm. Okay, don't let me run the commercial. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so I have Dr. Patutomi. Sorry. It's because I'm used to calling him from way back.
Just say Patutomi. Yeah. You know.
I'm trying to be formal. So, invariably, Peter Obi came, and then the rest is history. Mm. No controversies at all in the Labour Party. He's fully accepted, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. So, campaigns will start September 28th.
Yes.
Are you going to be campaigning with him throughout the country?
Yes, I will.
Yeah. If he does win, are you going to be involved in government?
I've always been involved in government.
Are you going to be involved in this one? Are you going to take up a role?
It would depend. You know, Jimmy, I'm too old to be a minister.
Yeah.
My philosophy is, look, ministers should be pulling in their 40s and 50s.
Yes, they have the energy.
I think I'm past that. Do I have energy? Yes. But do I want to be a minister? No.
No.
I think I passed that. Once my sister's birthday happened, I knew that was it. Yeah, that was it. The only thing I could then do was run for president, maybe. But...
Tell me something, Pat. Is Peter Obi ready to run this country hands-on? You know, we have a weak civil service. We can't run away from that.
It's one of the things that the team is working on, public service rebuilding. Mm. People don't know this because we're not the noisy so-called structure types. But we have a very strong team.
Mm.
Last Sunday, for example, we spent like 5 hours on some of these issues. He was sitting there, we're sitting, just casually engaging some of the finest minds in the country. I don't know if it's fair to mention some of the names, but we're all sitting there in my living room.
Mention some taking, of the
names. You've already mentioned one of them before in this program.
Who could that be?
Not
Tola Mubolori.
Tola is part of a gang, but Tola was not at the Sunday one.
Invariably, you have a lot of concerned professionals, yes, now in this project.
That's it.
Is Olisa one of you?
Not directly, Lisa.
But his spirit is there.
Yeah.
What about Atedo?
His spirit is there. Sometimes his body, sometimes, you know.
What, sir? Is he or is he not inside? But talk to me, Joe. but is there, for example, are you thinking of an, is the party thinking, first of all, who will take charge of this, Obi presidency if it does materialize? Is it a Labour Party presidency or a Peter Obi presidency?
Well, we've got two things going. We have a movement, a social movement.
Yes.
And we've got a party. Because of the nature of our constitution, everything will go through a party.
Mm.
But the real spirit is the movement.
Mm.
And the movement is a coalition of political parties, the number of political parties that are in
power.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yes. Number of political parties, a number of civil society organizations, a number of social movements, all agglomerated, and we like to call it the big tent. And the inspiration of the movement comes from the big tent. And you'd be amazed at concerned personal type organizations, how many of them are inside the big tent.
Really?
Yes. So we've got such incredible quality of human beings in this train, the future has, we've gone from civil service reforms, what to do with them, to economic strategy that will hit the ground running day one, looking at issues like unemployment, even the environment. You know, people don't quite understand the issues of the environment. And we're going to ensure that Peter Obi is an environment president. And people think of environment as dealing with some esoteric stuff, but that's economy.
Okay.
A green economy that will employ millions of people.
But the thing I wanted to know for sure is it going to be, because one of the things that we have is that our politics at the top is not party driven. The moment a president is elected, then it becomes all in all. And then, so is that going to happen in this case? What kind of agreement do you have with him?
We have a collegial approach to leadership. That was defined very early. I mean, one of the early forerunners of what we have is called the Rescue Nigeria Project. Involved people like Usman Bugaje. Of course, I was a member of the steering committee of the RMP. And one of the things we agreed to quite early was the fact that we will take a collegial approach to leadership, where people who, 10 of them, either one of them could have been president, are in a college that can be held accountable by the Nigerian people.
How do you go around the constitution to do that?
No, that's why it's not going to be a formal thing.
Oh, I see.
It's an informal thing that we have an understanding on, and that will guide the presidency. So he has quality people around him, and he has a commitment, because it's not about him, it's not about one person.
Yes.
It's an institutional arrangement to rescue a country. And the biggest challenge we've had has been in Nigeria, in recent experience, recruiting quality people into the arena of governance. People who are self-sacrificing, that just want the immortality of being part of building a great nation. What happened after 1999, and it just got progressively worse, that all kinds of scoundrels who didn't know what else to do entered politics. And they entered politics.
Scallywags.
Yes. To go and look for what they can scavenge.
Yes, yes.
And that just became the ruin of our country. And so this is an attempt to undo that damage.
Okay, but there's so much attention on the presidency that I'm wondering what your National Assembly would look like. Do you have people plugged into those areas, and what do you think are their chances? Because it is clear that I don't think there is a way you will have a majority in any of the two houses. How do you go around that?
You know, Jimmy, the Nigerian experience suggests a very simple thing. Leadership matters. You can have all these people who look like clowns, and you have a real leader whose only focus is the common good of all, and you will see them behave differently. I can tell you.
I see.
Yes, I can tell you for a fact. Yesterday, I'm not talking about a long time, yesterday at 5:45, I was sitting in the lounge at Nnamdi Azikiwe Airport in Abuja trying to come return to Lagos. And a member of the house walked up to me and was almost speaking in whispering tones. He said, "We are with you. Look at the terrible thing our country has become. Forget the party that I am in. We are with you, and we will." It was just a simple thing, but it was a signal to me that, you know.
And you didn't think that he was just hedging his bets just in case?
I didn't think so. I didn't think so. I think he was genuinely, honestly, you know, culture.
But do you suspect that at some point other, you know, members from other parties may be joining the Labour Party to be part of what you're doing?
Well, Nigerians who care about Nigeria
are free to come.
They come to free to come if they have the right values.
The right values.
Values shape human progress. The tragedy of Nigeria is the collapse of culture.
Look at the crisis in. There's a crisis in the APC, whether we like it or not. The list of it being the Muslim ticket. And by the way, you as a Catholic, what do you think of the Muslim ticket?
You know, I, again, you'll permit me, and I'm an academic, I'm a social scientist. I always try to analyze these things. I'll tell you why, first of all, I reject the PDP APC approach. Very structured thinking. I'll talk about it in a minute. But in terms of Muslim ticket, in 1948, a guy called Thomas Kingsley wrote a book titled Representative Bureaucracy. That book became the guidepost of what we now call affirmative action. His thesis was that a bureaucracy that does not have those it is giving service to represented appropriately will not be as effective as one that does.
Wow. Yeah.
So if you can manage to, without lowering standards, if you are a qualified, capable person from an area that is not represented, it better go for that person. That became the whole affirmative action movement. I think that even though what matters is just competence and this and that, to in diversity deny something, especially when it could reinforce a stereotype that people think nothing of Nigerian people, and that they can get away with whatever they like, it was a gross error of judgment. Gross error of judgment. And I think that the APC will pay very dearly for it, unfortunately.
Well, it's to your own advantage.
You know,
As any of the
people... By the way, you know, I thought I should probably make this point about why I then came. I was there, even though we decided as concerned professionals not to participate in 99. Of course, I was already an Obasanjo person. I headed this policy team. Running up to the election, Dr. Alex Ekweme, I was very close to from the Shagari days. So I accompanied him to some of those meetings, even though I did not become a member of the PDP. So I saw the PDP founded. As a social scientist, I saw, you know, light bulbs flicker about the kinds of problems that would come down the line. Then APC, I mean, how did the APC get formed? I talked about Chifinauru calling me after 79. We began this movement. And then I tried to get the Lagos State governor, who I was very close and friendly with and worked with.
Which one?
Tinubu.
Tinubu, oh, okay.
Yeah. I tried to get him to become part of that progressive movement. Back and forth between him, Chief Olufalae, were playing ping pong with me. Trying to reconcile everybody. This one will say, it's not me. It's not me. It's not
my people are good at that.
Yes, they played me so much. After a while, I got exhausted.
They call it a rodon. Yoruba people. I will send you go by. I'd like to, let's wrap that up. Because I'd like to ask you.
Let me wrap that up quickly.
Yes.
In the end, I was part of the founding of the APC. Progressing. Again, I saw in it. The truth, if you go to structural economics and the structure conduct performance paradigm, structure dictates conduct, conduct outcomes. It's clear that the nature of the transactions that are involved in emerging in those parties are such that power will ultimately trump purpose. And you will not be able to give service to the people out of those structures. Just think of
how, okay. That's taking us to the LBS classroom. but specifically now, it is said Dobi was talking to you in the UK, not you, Labour Party. Is there anything in the works? Is there anything coming out of the bag in that? Obi is most likely going to leave the PDP somewhat anyway, even if he doesn't leave physically. His soul is moving bit by bit. Do you think it will be headed in your direction or the APC? Would you be ready to welcome him, given the parameters you've given? Wiki. Sorry,
Wiki.
I had Wiki in mind.
Okay,
so sorry.
Wiki, it's a Freudian thing. Wiki is a Nigerian who's very energetic. Sometimes energies go in one direction and not another direction.
It goes a bit over the butt, though, sometimes.
But, you know, clearly, if he aligns with the forces of progress, he'll be absolutely welcome. I think that there's good reason to think
What do you think he'll be bringing to the table? Money?
That's always a little helpful, but he has some very strong followers, so that matters. In fact, you know, River State is all Labour now, so it's his own interest to come to us.
Are you kidding?
Yes, to remain relevant. I mean, did you see the so-called Million Man March in Port Harcourt?
The entire
city came out.
So Labour Party, I just want to clear this in my head. Does it mean that the NLC, all the trade unions are directly or indirectly members of the Labour Party? Is that what it is?
I was in a retreat with the leadership of the NLC in Abuja the day before yesterday. The great Hassan Sumonu was there and all of this. You know, and the object of the retreat was to talk about this, exactly what you've talked about. And it's part of a process of bringing every worker into this party. So those who are talking about structure don't know what they're talking about. And this was the original motivation. Like I said, I've been working at this for years. I've had dozens of meetings with Ayuba Waba and this. It was here in Yaba, their office in Tejosho, that I made a presentation to them like 2.5 years ago of the National Working Committee. And they gave me their word that they were with the people and with what I was talking about. But I did not realize how much until February 6th this year, my birthday. And Ayuba Waba's speech on my birthday, I realized how we had succeeded in getting Labour to understand that we're saying to them, you can rescue your country.
Wow. Okay, Father Tommy is in the house. Our lines, I'm sure, are buzzling now. 0700-993-993-993. I do apologize that I haven't given allowance for, you know, calls before now. But I haven't seen... this gentleman you're looking at, if you have a conversation with him, you could go on and on and on and get lost in it all. Okay? And I haven't seen my friend for donkey years. So we'll open up our lines. 01465-7190, of course, you know, is the lines that are reserved. We're gender friendly here, that are reserved for women. But there'll be no crisscrossing, no female sounding voice of any man. Let's take the first caller today. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning, Sir Jimmy.
Morning.
Good morning, Prof. Tommy.
Good morning.
Yeah, this is actually from First Park.
Please, wait. You're talking, there's an echo. Okay.
Okay, sorry, do you get the echo now, sir?
No, it's a bit better now. Yes, go on.
Okay. I said I don't believe you, Sir Jimmy. You know, when Uncle Pat comes, it's the best you come with your boot full of 50 meters of for Jerry comes to get everything come for him. So back to the question for Pat. My question to him, to Sir Peter, is that they are always bringing up this thing of Pandora's paper, and he also appears to have a bit of weakness in the Department of Security based on the activities of these SARS during his tenure. So those are the 2 points I wanted to speak on. Thank you.
Okay, did you hear what he said?
Yes, I did.
Were you in the Pandora's papers? What's the name there?
I don't have anything. I don't have anything.
Maybe he was referring to Obi.
Yes, it was Obi.
Okay, do you want to answer it?
I didn't even know that he was in any... But we all know about the Pandora's thing and some of the speculations. So I don't even have any information on that. That would be unfair speaking to you. The other question that he asked was about security.
Yes.
You know, God is the ultimate source of security, but we've got to do our best, and we do try to do our best.
You speak holy water on him every morning.
Absolutely.
All right, you can consult me. I'm busy. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning, sir.
Morning.
My name is Kaya Domogaji.
APC.
Good morning, sir.
Yes.
Good morning to the prof.
Good morning.
Yes, sir. Labour is doing well federally, but there's a lot of problems going on in Lagos with Labour Party. I was with the candidate for Labour Party, the one that is recognized by INEC, Professor Fagbemi, on a radio show 2 weeks ago. I was talking about how the Labour in federal is trying to replace his name with Badibo.
Yeah.
I think that that's a very, very serious thing. I don't know why we're not talking about it, because if a party that is going to be the third force is having, because like Uncle Jimmy said this morning, after the federal, after the presidency, probably the most important office politically is Lagos State Governor. And now the war is serious because Fagbemi said he's going to court, and truly his name is the one that is recognized by INEC. So what's going on?
Okay, thank you. We are running out of time. It's 9:50 already. So who is your candidate for Labour Party in Lagos?
Badibo Rose Vivo.
he was talking about some fag women.
In fact, it's a mystery to me.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's a total mystery. Mm. I'm actually meeting with the leaders of the Labour Party in Lagos this afternoon.
But whose name is with INEC? Whose name did INEC publish?
Revival is the name submitted. Lagos had some uploading problems and it's been sorted, the usual bureaucratic things with INEC. But the name that I know is Gbadebo Revival. And I had to put a lot of pressure on people because I wanted to see a vibrant young man.
But also the will of the people must prevail.
Oh, yes, of course.
So who is this professor now?
Like I said, I don't know him.
You don't even know him? Mm-mm. Your own constituency?
My constituency.
what can I do? I can just take just one more call and that would be it. One last caller. Female. Let me take it. Any female line? Okay, hello. Morning.
Hello, sir. Good morning, sir.
Morning.
Yeah, good morning to the both.
Good morning.
Hello, sir. Yeah. My name is Alexis, sir.
Well done.
Quickly. We're out of time.
I want to ask yourself a question about... the thing just slipped my head.
Okay, the question.
Anyway, I just wish the party good luck.
Okay, thank you very much. Just one last person who can talk very quickly. Mm. Hello, good morning.
Hello.
Quickly, morning, just go on. We don't have much time.
Please, sir, I want Nigeria to know that Peter Obi is just God sent.
Okay, fine. That point is noted.
Yeah.
Now, talking of Peter Obi, we have to find a way to bring him here. Do I have a promise on that?
Yeah, I mean, we're in the business of talking to people.
Mm. So immediately after September 28th, which is next week, Thursday or so. No. Next week,
we're going to be traveling quite a bit around the country in places. Mm. We, I believe, kick off.
Who is the head of media in your party?
Look, this is the way things are structured. Like I said, from the big tent, we've got Charles Odibo coordinating media.
Okay.
From Peter Obi campaign organization, a person that is his chief spokesperson. Is Tanku, Dr. Tanku Yunusa.
Okay.
This is chief.
But it's you I will hold on to bring him here. Do I get a promise on that?
Not a problem, I mean.
Okay, so that's good. We'll probably we'll ask if we can extend it for 2 hours for him and other candidates of his stature. You don't talk to a presidential candidate in 1 hour.
You see.
And then again, I'm not too excited about having recorded interviews. So he must come here and meet us in our constituency where the people are.
Okay. I mean, we are a people's people.
Yeah, he's safe here.
Go to the people everywhere.
Nothing can happen to him here. In fact, you see this pocket? You see
the thing they inside?
The thing inside. This is Adibado boy. This is Adibado boy.
Don't you know,
if he did that time, he can't die again. Okay, so that's why we'll call it a day for today. It's been nice talking to my very good friend, Professor Patu Tommy. Nice talking to him. I haven't seen him for years. He's going to have to come back. We didn't cover any grounds at all today. Mm-hmm. He'll keep coming back and keep coming back until this election is lost and won. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Pat. God
Great
bless
pleasure.
You. We wish you all the best and give our regards to Peter Obi, who I had the good fortune to meet. I interviewed him. I didn't even know he was going to be a presidential candidate. It was about 4 years ago or thereabouts. I didn't know. So we'll be back again tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock as usual. Feta, thank you very much. It seems so odd seeing Dr. Pat. You want to take a photograph with him? And you went to LBS, did you? You went to Pan African?
No, I didn't.
It wasn't you. It was a. It was the soccer. Oh, okay. So let's. Which university did you go? That one is too far from here. we will do a crash program for you. You'd like. Okay, folks, enjoy yourself, and I'll be back again tomorrow at 9. Bye.
Information at its peak. This is 99.3 Nigeria Info. I'm listening.
99.3 Nigeria Info. Depend on us for the best in talk.
99.3 Nigeria Info, biggest.
Keeping you updated on latest news.
Government saying they own the mint. So the government just go to the mint and print money and then help us stand on the land. They share.
Latest.
I want to assume that you would run because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running mate to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire those that need to be fired are fired.
It's looking like a brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. Now, what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not a Chelsea.